Today on Straight Talk Africa, it's the role of the artist in African politics. Art can be a powerful tool for promoting social and economic change. And today, we are having a conversation with Bobi Wine, a Ugandan member of parliament and a musician with a message of social justice for all of us. That's coming up next right here on Straight Talk Africa. Hello, welcome to Straight Talk Africa, live from the Voice of America headquarters here in Washington. I am Shaka Sali.
And hello to all of our viewers and listeners on the continent and elsewhere. I'm Haydee Adams-Fitzpatrick, your social media reporter.
Today is the role of the performing artist in African politics.
And coming up later, our audience has weighed in on our topic through emails, Facebook and Twitter comments. We'll reveal some of them ahead on Straight Talk Africa.
A top Ugandan performing artist turned member of parliament says he wants to use his music to inspire Ugandans to bring about social and political change in the East African nation. VOA's Esther Githui Yuwat has more.
Robert Kyagulanyi Ssentamu, who is known to his music fans as Bobi Wine, has become a notable presence on Uganda's political scene after a surprise entry into politics with a landslide win in a parliamentary by-election at the end of June. His anti-government stance, peppered in his lyrics and an electric connection with his youthful music fans, has caused unease among some who say the combination could be turned into a potent weapon to quash Museveni's grip on power. Uganda. Ugandan legislators remained deeply divided between President Yoweri Museveni's bid to extend his rule and those opposed to it, turning parliament into a fighting ring. But in December 2017, legislators voted to amend the constitution, allowing Museveni, who is 73, to extend his rule, potentially guaranteeing him a lifetime presidency. Museveni has since signed the bill into law.
When people get involved, there will be change. You know that, I know that. So this mass awareness is not for us to go to a certain show. It is not for us to, you know, to go and do anything else other than change our lives. And if we want to change our lives, then we need to change the leadership.
Ssentamu won wide acclaim when he visited Uganda's popular opposition figure Kizza Besigye and played guitar at his home in the capital, Kampala, where he was under house arrest in the weeks after the last election. He says his music remains an effective voice to Ugandans, and he plans to continue using it even as a legislator.
The government wants to always uses the Public Order Management Bill to curtail the activities of the opposition. You understand? That's why the same thing has been happening. This one, even when Besigye is walking peacefully, they'll grab him and they'll fight. I am not going to play into their tricks.
The popular Ugandan artist cum legislator refers to himself as a ghetto president and describes his music genre as edutainment. He has traded his rugged, frizzy, curly hair and denim for a clean cut and a suit for his parliamentary look. He began his music career in early 2000 and his songs often spotlight urban poverty. Some Ugandans are, however, skeptical that artists like Bobi Wine and others will not change their political stance as they pocket more money in parliament.
Politics has been commercialized. They get a lot of money, number of deals and so on. You find that even people who don't suit to be parliamentarians find their way into parliament.
Ssentamu maintains he will stay true to himself and champion the rights of the poor and politically oppressed Ugandans.
That kind of stereotype that has developed over time made people think that I'm turning around. I'm not turning around, I'm just growing into responsibility and seeing that if we want to change anything, we have to be involved, and I want to live by example.
Uganda's popular musicians have either steered clear of politics or openly lent their talent to the ruling party, which pays them to sing pro-Museveni praises or perform at his political rallies. But Ssentamu's star power and charity work among the urban poor especially in the slum neighborhood of the capital Kampala, continues to rise. Only time will tell if Bobi Wine will change his political tune. Esther Gidu Ewart, VOA News, Washington.
Thanks, Esther, for that interesting report. Joining us here is the one and only Ugandan Member of Parliament and artist, Robert Sentamu Kyagulanyi, also known as Bobi Wine. Well, Bobi Wine, I have to say sincerely that I am profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Thank you very much, Shaka. I'm very humbled to be here, and greetings, ladies and gentlemen, watching us from home and all over the world. I'm glad to be here.
You're most welcome.
Thank you.
Later in the program, we'll give our audience a chance to call in with your question or comment. The number to call is 202-619-3111, and the U.S. country code is 1. Let me come to you immediately. First of all, really, why are you called Bobi Wine?
That's interesting. My Christian name is Robert, mm-hmm. and Robert means Bob. So I preferred, or my mother preferred to call me Bob, because when I was born, Bob Marley was the fashionable artist. And as I grew up, I made it even more fashionable, calling myself Bobby. And then the wine came along when I started singing and I was looking out for a stage name to use. And I realized that I was getting better and more reasonable when I grew up. So I decided to add wine, and thus coming up with the name Bobi Wine.
You mentioned, if I heard you correctly, Bob Marley?
Yes,
Bob Marley. The man from
Jamaica.
Kingston, Jamaica?
Mm-hmm.
What does he mean to you? I mean, this is a guy, obviously, who used to be the king of reggae music.
Yeah, Bob Marley was an inspiration, not just to me, to my parents as well, but as I was growing up, I listened so much to Bob Marley, and his arguments captivated me and was an inspiration even through my music. He was a person advocating and fighting for social justice through his music. And not just Bob Marley, but other artists as well. But him in particular, I idolized him so much, and I was so proud to be called Bob.
And at what age was that?
Well, that was when I was growing up. I mean, I was called Bob, and I loved the name because of Bob Marley. But when I turned 14 and started singing around, and indeed I was inspired by Jamaican artists like Chaka Demas, Buju Banton, so I got a huger connection to the Jamaican reggae genre of music.
It is very interesting because did you really have any chance to see him anywhere, frankly, other than perhaps via YouTube video and stuff like that?
Well, Bob Marley died the year I was born.
Very interesting.
So I did not get the chance to meet him physically.
Just perhaps about the year you were born, because I think he probably died in 1981 or something.
1981, and I was born in 82. So it was probably a year apart.
So would it be fair to say then that it was, in fact, Bob Marley who lent you his shoulders and so that you could climb on them and see a little bit further as an artist?
Well, I would be flattering myself to compare myself to such a great person like Bob Marley. He's absolutely so great for me to compare myself.
But you know that when you, in fact, get an opportunity to sit on anybody's shoulders, you have the opportunity to see a little bit further than that particular individual.
Certainly. And I must note that it's not only Bob Marley. There are artists that I managed to emulate even further. People like Lucky Dube, who
Lucky
is a
Dube,
South African artist.
South African artist, of course, via Zimbabwe.
Sure. Mm-hmm. People like Fide Lutaya. People like the late Herman Basude.
Retired Ugandan who died in Sweden?
Yeah, he's a Ugandan who stood tall.
Regarding AIDS.
Regarding HIV AIDS. That is the time when everybody was scared to even mention HIV AIDS. He was a hero who was the first Ugandan to announce that he was HIV positive and indeed gave HIV AIDS a face, you know, amidst all the stigma. So he was a hero to me as well.
What about Brenda Fassie of South Africa, the late Brenda Fassie?
Well, artists from South Africa, not only Brenda Fassie, we have Chaka Chaka and a whole host of artists from South Africa.
Miriam Makeba, Mama Africa.
These are artists that stood tall in the fight against apartheid and indeed inspired me to use music to advocate for social change and for justice.
Yuma Sekera?
He was a great one. So sad we lost him recently.
What about Nigeria? We go to Nigeria.
In Nigeria, Fela. There's this guy called Fela Kuti. I loved him.
Anakulitu Kuti, the father or the son?
I love the father, yeah.
What do you love him about?
Well, the fearlessness, especially in the face of a dictatorship. I mean, he was only an artist, but he noticed that art had so much power to influence opinion, and he stood tall against a dictatorship back then in Nigeria. It was much harder to stand face to face and question the powers that be in the past than today. So I salute him for that.
You know, it is very interesting, Bobby Wine, that you happen to be a minority among Ugandan artists when it comes to embracing music that promotes social economic change. A lot of your colleagues, frankly, they seem to embrace music that supports the status quo, which is a music, when I was at school studying cross-cultural communication, which is a sort of music that promotes social control.
Mm-hmm. On the contrary, Shaka, I wouldn't want to elevate myself at the cost of my fellow artists back home. It should be noted that very many artists stand for social change, only that many of them, of course, are in one way or another afraid to come out boldly and state what they stand for. But very many artists back home, those that I get to speak to, are sharing the same plight and indeed share the same emotions about the status quo back home. Of course, very many look at their art as a source of wealth, and when there's an opportunity to make a million or two out of their music, regardless of what they use it to reflect, they take it. But Uganda and Ugandan artists, not only singers, poets, writers, and actors have stood and questioned the powers that be. We should note the late Byron Kawadwa. Mm-hmm. He was murdered for the same. And indeed, we had a great man called Okot Bitek from northern Uganda. I idolize him because this is a guy that we see in history that stood.
He was a literary giant.
Certain.
Song of Lawino.
Yeah, Song of Lawino.
Song of Accord.
Yeah.
Very interesting. But how can you possibly put on the same page, frankly, an artist with fear? Artists are supposed to be fiercely independent-minded. They are supposed to be social narrators. They are supposed, in fact, to provide a voice to the voiceless.
Yes, yes, and if I'm to quote the late Okot Bitek, he said, artists are the mirror of society. We reflect what exactly is happening in society. It has been happening over time, but we must acknowledge that fear sometimes overrides most of them. You know, the fear factor in the art industry, you know, is also something that is stopping artists from performing their noble duty of reflecting the voices and aspirations of the people they perform to.
So how come you do not seem to fear?
It's not that I do not fear, no. It's just because maybe I think there's something more important than fear. I mean, Nelson Mandela has taught us before that courage is not the absence of fear, but it's the ability to overcome that fear. So don't get me wrong, I'm a natural human being. I get frightened and scared for my life and for my future. But again, because I know that that fear, there's something more powerful than fear, and that is the destiny that we hold together as a generation and as a country.
I like that. Well, time happens not to be our best ally, and for that, before pausing for a short break, we want to remind you that Straight Talk Africa is now streaming live on Facebook. To watch our show, just enter the keyword Straight Talk Africa, and don't forget to share it with your friends. We are on Twitter, and we are tweeting live. Follow us at VOA Shaka. That's VOA Shaka. Join in on today's discussion with your questions and comments. Don't forget to use the hashtag VOA Uganda Bobby, and we'll air some of your comments later in the show. We'll be right back with you, so please, don't go away.
We are able to touch on things that are important to people on an everyday basis. We hope that our viewers are getting inspired when they watch our show. They're getting a view of the world from a different perspective, things that perhaps are not in their immediate vicinity. Today, I could put in on the show something that is a little different, a little unique, and this gives me that inspiration to come to work.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. What is your opinion about today's topic? Call us at 202-619-3111. U.S. country code 1. When you call, remember the following. Ask only one question. Keep your comment brief and turn down the volume on your radio or television. Now let's return to Straight Talk Africa.
This is a message to the government. Expressing what's exactly on the people's mind. Wako ebinyigirizo bulamu bwaffe na buli kitumalako eddembe lyaffe. Uganda etambula edda mabega, kituse n'okutwetamya eggwanga lyaffe. Mulimba mutufuga bubi nnyo nammwe, kale tetuganye mwalwana mu nsiko. Naye gw'omwana gwe wasanga nga tannazaalibwa kati naye yazaala nadda. Kino mukiŋŋambire muze yabamutuukako, saba ne bazeyi banne bamugambeko. Eno ensonga nkyamu nnyo gyalemeddeko kati eggwanga lyonna lyennyamidde. Bagambe yalinga demokulasi mwamubuluka kati yafuuka na ipopulisi. Bagambe yali fundamento kyenji mwagizaala wakati mugifudde no kyenji. Bagamba ky'ensonga ezabalwanya kati mwazibuukako nammwe mukola biri ebyabali. Bakusaba nti konstitutioni yaabwe togikwata ku kubamwe.
That one, of course, is the one and only Bobby Wine at work. Now, talking about work, Bobby Wine, why do they call you, or do you call yourself, the ghetto president?
That's very interesting, Shaka. All along, even before I went into formal politics, I had a responsibility. And that responsibility was a self-call. I was advocating for better living in the communities, and not only in word, but indeed, organizing my community, beginning from the ghettos of Kamocha and around Kampala, sensitizing people about, HIV, AIDS.
Why do you call Kamocha, for example, a ghetto?
Well, Kamocha is not entirely a ghetto, but yeah, the biggest part of Kamocha is a slum, and that is where I come from. And we use that word ghetto to mean slum.
You grew up in the slum?
Yeah, I grew up in the slum of Kamocha. Something I'm proud of because it opened my eyes to the realities of life.
But how did you grow up in a slum when, the last time I checked, your mother was a nurse by profession, correct?
Yes, my mother was a nurse, and like I told you, when I was born, it was a wartime. My family used to be a rich family, but because of its meddling in politics, lost everything.
I see.
So yes, my mother had 10 children, and she was more or less a single mother because when I was growing up, my father was in jail over politics. He was one of the Museveni rebels, and he was in jail. So when we were growing up, we were living in one room, and all of us, and my mother had to work. She was a nurse at Mulago Hospital and feed all of us. So that explains the circumstances under which we grew up. But coming back to explaining why they call me the ghetto president is because I took leadership upon myself, and offered leadership to my fellow ghetto youth where I was coming from. And because I was supposedly more informed than some of my friends, they bestowed upon me the title Ghetto President.
Very interesting. So do you at some point feel like you may in fact want to make it real?
That is not the main target right now. My target is to make sure I infect as many youth as possible with this Bobby Wine mindset so that we can be able to multiply ourselves. I believe there are so many young people out there that are even more intelligent and more informed than I am. It's just a question of challenging them to put those skills in use to benefit themselves and the people around them. Yeah.
When someone decides to become a president or to run for president or whatever it is, surely they must believe in something.
Yeah.
They probably must have the vision thing. What is your vision, for example, for Uganda?
Well, I'm looking at a Uganda that is ruled by social justice, by equal rights, by rule of law, where everybody is equal before and under the law, where everybody can live to their full potential, where if you work hard, you are sure you're going to succeed. That is the kind of Uganda that I envision.
Are you suggesting that the Uganda that obtains today does not meet that criteria?
Well, most certainly it doesn't. I mean, we are living in a Uganda where over 80% is younger than me, and yet, again, over 80% is unemployed, not because Uganda is poor, but because the priorities of our leaders are not on the plight of the people they lead, but on themselves. So certainly that is not the Uganda I want to see.
You're talking about over percent of the Ugandan population that has also actually probably known only one ruler.
Yeah, sure.
President Yoweri Museveni.
Yeah.
But earlier you told me, by the way, that when it comes to politics, it was in fact President Yoweri Museveni who inspired you.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes, yes.
Still inspire you?
Well, I was inspired by President Museveni of 1986 all the way to probably 1996. Mm-hmm. And actually, the Museveni of 1986 inspired me to fight the Museveni of 2018. We had a prized revolutionary. This is somebody who, at my age, convinced other young people to go and fight for what they thought was justice. And indeed, they went for that. They risked their lives. Many of our parents and relatives lost their lives. They did not know that they were following a personal, for lack of a better word, they didn't know they were following an imposter. You know, they didn't know they were following a liar. Somebody.
What do you mean an imposter here?
I mean, he represented something so good. But again, what he depicts is something so different. I don't want to get personal with the head of state, but my generation is a generation that loves to come face to face with facts. I mean, our leader keeps changing his word every other 5 years, and that actually explains to you why he has been falling off, apart with all the people that they fought with. So, yes, I was inspired, and I'm still inspired by the words that he had. When you read Sowing the Mustard Seed, or when you read Mission to Freedom, it was a mission to restore democracy, to restore the rule of law. We were promised that court orders will be respected. We were promised that, we're going to be ruled by the law. But when you look at what is happening in our country, looks like it calls for another revolution.
You have a Chief Justice. You have, on the paper at least, an independent judiciary. So aren't you, in fact, experiencing rule of law, or is it rule by law?
Well, Shaka, you have a judiciary, but I'm sure you're more informed than many of the folks in my generation. And I'm sure you notice that people get released by court, and indeed they are arrested or kidnapped just on the doorsteps of the court. You realize that there's stifling of the legislature. I mean, the legislature is supposed to be independent. But just recently, the soldiers from the Presidential Guard Brigade stormed Parliament and beat up all of us. One of our fellow members of parliament sustained a broken spinal cord and another a cracked skull. You know, you cannot call that rule of law. Maybe, in your words, could describe that as rule by law. And the law is one person himself, the head of state.
And who is that head of state?
That's President Yoweri Museveni.
Now, talking about President Yoweri Museveni, yes, you said that you were inspired by the one of 1986, probably yes. Up to 1996.
Yeah.
And that you now fight the current one. Is that correct?
Yeah, I fight the deeds and the ways the current one.
What about the Museveni of the first 10 years, 86, 96? What do you think would happen if that particular Yoweri Museveni met the Yoweri Museveni of today?
Well, they would need bigger space because they would fiercely fight.
Why would they fight?
I mean, because everything I am saying was said by our president at my age.
So he didn't deliver?
Yeah, certainly. I think the problem here is, and by the way, my generation needs to learn from the mistakes of the past generation. I don't blame the people that worked with President Museveni at first because they did not have an example to learn from. My generation has an example to learn from, and they should know that we don't need another big daddy or another strong man, but strong institutions that are going to curtail all the, you know, selfish interests that may come. I think what caused that is the absolute power. And as you know, Shaka, power corrupts.
And absolute power
corrupts absolutely. So it must be absolute power that has insulated our leaders, especially our president, from the reality and giving him this godly aura and making him believe that nobody else understands like he does, that nobody else knows their destiny. Unfortunately, we are millions upon millions of young people who are living in a new generation who do not want to be enslaved by the past, by the hatred and the divisions of the past. We have a future that we're walking to. We have new challenges. We live in the 21st century. We have 21st century challenges and that need 21st century solutions, and of course, by 21st century leaders. Unfortunately, we are excluded.
It's very interesting that you talk about Museveni that has actually undergone changes, but let's face it, Bobi Wine, the reality is that society is not static, it is dynamic.
Sure.
So what do you expect? You expect Museveni to remain exactly the way he was back in 1986?
I don't expect him to be the one, the same person, and that is why we must have institutions to save him from himself. I mean, yes, society is not static, and neither is the population. I mean, today are different people than yesterday. They need different ideas, and they need a system that provides opportunity for new talents, for new ideas to be at play, to offer solutions to the world that they live in. We are living in a world where we are in a situation that we seem to be walking towards a cliff. Unfortunately, we are sure, our generation is sure that it is going to be around much longer. But unfortunately, again, we seemingly sentenced to decisions that are being made by people who are surely not going to be present when the outcomes of those decisions come to play.
Very interesting. There was once a first lady in town here, Michelle Obama. She once said that becoming a president does not change you. Rather, it reveals you.
Yeah.
She has to know something about this because she lived with a guy who was not a president and then lived with the same guy who became a two-term president of the United States.
Yeah.
Do you agree with that?
Of course I do agree. I mean, when you look at the brutality that's being unleashed to unarmed civilians in Uganda, when you look at the outright corruption, the unchecked corruption that goes on, when you look at the tribalism at play back home, when you look at all the impunity, then it probably is revealing somebody's character.
Very interesting. Well, time happens again, not to be our best ally, Bobi Wine. You are tuned into Space Talk Africa. We'll have more of a discussion in a moment, including our social media segment. So please, don't go away, because we'll be right back with you.
Like Voice of America on Facebook. Follow VOA on Twitter. Join VOA on our YouTube channel. Like, follow, join VOA.
This is Straight Talk Africa on the Voice of America. Call us now with your questions and comments. The number is 202-619-3111 and the U.S. country code is 1. Call us direct and we'll call you right back. Remember to turn down the volume on your radio or television and keep your comments brief. Now back to Straight Talk Africa.
Thank you very much, Esther Gidu Ewart, and of course, welcome back to Straight Talk Africa, live from Washington. It's time to bring in our social media reporter, Heidi Adams Fitzpatrick. Take it away, Heidi.
Thank you very much, Sharka. We've received excellent and a lot of social media feedback this week. We are, of course, talking to Bobby Wine, who is an outspoken member of the Ugandan Parliament. He's also a businessman, an activist, a humanitarian, and a musician. His lyrics often advocate for Uganda struggling and poor. And so this leads us to our question of the week, which asked, what do you think about Bobby Wine advocating for Uganda? Let's start with a tweet from Irene Neetwear Victor, who tweets he is doing great work, especially in sensitizing the youth about their role to shape their future. He is really inspiring us. We have another tweet from Kamoga Keen, who tweets he should prepare himself for leadership. Uganda loves him. We have another tweet from Sarkozy, who tweets he's a source of inspiration to the youth, especially the ghetto ones, saying if you believe, you can achieve. Our last tweet is from Brian Lumanyika, who tweets, I, as a ghetto kid, he inspires me so much through his music and inspirational talks. He makes me believe one can come from zero to hero. If the parliament can't come to the ghetto should go to parliament. We should be the solution to our problems. Now to our social media comment of the week from Facebook fan Kabale Rajab in Uganda, and he writes, he's an inspiration to the youth of our generation. His progress shows that life can change for the better. He has transitioned from a music giant to a prominent politician, and that shouldn't be taken for granted. Let's go to another comment from Facebook fan Frank Nuamanya from Uganda, who writes, I think he is an agent for social change, and that has been reflected in his songs, which are society-based. Ugandans are quite optimistic and hopeful about Honorable Kyagulanyi. Another Facebook comment comes from Mohammed Ahmed Mansour from Monrovia, Liberia, and he writes, it's good for Bobby Wine. He's trying to remind the Ugandan government of its responsibility. I would like to extend my sincere thanks and appreciation to him for his tireless efforts in advocating for Ugandan artists. Well done, Bobby Wine. Please continue your good work. Another Facebook comment comes from Kasoma Nashwa Bobby from Uganda, and he writes, he is a good leader in the making with positive strategies of his own, which seem to be beneficial to Ugandans. And our last Facebook comment comes from Amaki Kimera Mulagwe, also from Uganda, and he writes, he articulates Uganda's problems well. He's the right solution now and needs the support of Uganda's statesmen and women. Now, a reminder that we appreciate all of your audience feedback. If you are a new fan, do drop us a line at africatv@voanews.com. And to comment on our Facebook page, just enter the keywords Straight Talk Africa. And be sure to visit us online at voaafrica.com. And to join our YouTube channel, sign up to VOA TV to Africa. And do follow us on Twitter at VOA Shaka. Straight Talk Africa streams live every Wednesday on Facebook, or simply go to VOA Straight Talk Africa TV program page that's on our website. And to watch us live on your mobile device, download the VOA mobile app. Now let's take a look at what's ahead for next week's program. the next Straight Talk Africa. South Africa's ruling party is demanding its most prominent member, President Jacob Zuma, resign from office. It wants a new president and cabinet in place as soon as possible. We'll discuss the implications of the ANC's push to remove Zuma from office on the next Straight Talk Africa. And that's it for our social media segment today. Chaka, you and Bobby Wine, of course, have a lot of inspired social media comments to discuss, so I'll hand it back to you.
Heidi, thank you so much for sharing some social media reaction with us, of course. And we are discussing the role of the performing artist in African politics. Our distinguished guest is Robert Sentamu Kyagulanyi, also known as Bobby Wine, a Ugandan member of parliament and artist. And of course, Bobby Wine, once again, I will say that I'm profoundly honored and exceedingly humbled to have the opportunity to host you on Straight Talk Africa for the first time.
Thank you very much, Shaka.
You're most welcome.
Thank you.
When we talk about wine, do you drink wine?
Am I supposed to say that? Probably my son is watching.
Really?
And I don't want to inspire no alcohol.
Because I was going to ask you whether you drink a bit of red or white or rosé.
I wouldn't rule it out. I mean, wine is a good thing for our stomachs. So, yeah, I wouldn't mind a glass.
In fact, they say that if you drink red wine, sometimes it could probably add value to your health and your age.
You know, so why not try a glass?
Very interesting.
Yeah.
Now, when I listen to the social media reaction from almost everybody, frankly, it looks like you must be a uniquely gifted individual. And it reminds me of one young man, a uniquely gifted individual back in 1986 in Uganda. You're wearing Museveni.
Yeah.
Does that bother you? Does that concern you?
Well, it bothers me, but again, it provides lessons. Like I said, our generation is blessed with lessons. I mean, we have an absolute example of something very good, but going very bad. And maybe it should be a lesson for all of us that never again should we promote personalities, but rather we as a nation should embrace. You see, I think there was a mistake on elevating just a personality, and I always tell this to fellow Ugandans, not to look at me as a solution or anybody else for that matter, but all of us as a generation and as a country holistically, you know, to embrace our problems and find solutions from within. If we can own our liberation as a nation, then no single man will ever rise up to feel to get that feeling of entitlement.
It's very interesting because that reminds me, of course, as to what is happening right now in South Africa, Africa's most industrialized nation.
Yeah.
You know what is happening, of course, incumbent President Jacob Zuma, otherwise known as Mshorozi.
Yeah, it's interesting what is happening in South Africa. But again, I would be much more proud to have such a situation back home. I mean, it shows you the strength of the judiciary. It shows you the strength and independence of the legislature.
The culture of democracy.
Exactly. That is absolute democracy, whereby
the
people power is stronger than the people in power. And that is what we need. I mean, if a country is not just run by one head, if we can, in Uganda, achieve that level of intolerance to corruption, and indeed, if anybody is answerable under the law, then that's a good thing.
But when you talk about that, I mean, it reminds me, of course, of Uganda. I mean, you have had President Yoweri Museveni in power for 32 years. Mm-hmm. But when he was asked about how come he's been around for 3 decades, he actually says he is there because he simply succumbs to the pressure of the people, people's pressure. Who are those people?
Well,
you're about 40 million Ugandans.
Yeah, but
how can one individual really dominate, control, call shots whenever he wants?
It is disturbing equally to me as it might be to you, but we must notice that our president is keeping himself in power by use of the armed forces. I mean, you have seen people being brutalized. Just more recently, the whole nation came up trying to defend the Constitution. Surveys were made, and indeed, over 85% of the Ugandans were against the amendment of the Constitution. The members of parliament who were in favor of abrogating our Constitution could not even go to their constituents to inquire from them whether they should go ahead. And yes, the parliament sent us out to go and consult our electorate. But we were outrightly brutalized and beaten up. People were tear gassed and very many killed on the orders of the president. So you realize that the whole country is in the arm of the president. You know, yes, he's going to go tell you that he's succumbing to the pressure of these people. I would forgive him for that because, yes, probably a small group of people, they are also people. A small group of people has been so corrupt for so long that they fear retribution.
But these people say that the man is uniquely gifted to such an extent that politically they actually view him as God's gift to Uganda, that Uganda probably, frankly, couldn't do without him.
I must remind you, Shaka, that Robert Mugabe of Zimbabwe used to say the same thing. You know, Taylor of Liberia used to say the same thing. Mobutu Sese Seko of Congo used to say the same thing.
For Taylor and Mobutu, it took outside forces to get rid of them from State House.
Yeah.
For Mugabe, it was his own army. So you talk about...
And for Blaise Compaoré, it was the people.
It was the people power.
So we must know.
Plus the presidential guard, as a matter of fact, who could not shoot a bullet at the people.
Yeah.
So it was people power.
It's certainly people power.
Now, when you talk about Museveni being kept in power by the army, why would the army keep supporting him? Is it a personal army? I thought the last time I checked, it was called the Uganda People's Defense Force.
Well, yeah, it was called the Uganda People's Defense Force, with all due respect to our army. Unfortunately, the line between the army and the police in Uganda is very blurry. You know, you realize that, yes, we are putting the army on the side. The police itself is an instrument of brutality. It's an instrument of control. You have seen our police is very politicized. It is the Ugandan police that actually employs well-known, well-confessed criminals to crack down on the opposition. And it was shameful for the Inspector General of Police to come out and hail the known criminals in Uganda, say, yeah, those criminals were helping us not to fight crime, but to crack down on the opposition. So the security forces in general, not just the army, but as a matter of fact, if we are to compare, I would end up exonerating the army and putting the police on the forefront.
Very interesting, because in Zimbabwe it was the opposite. As a matter of fact, in Zimbabwe, you are almost the same. I mean, the same thing. In Zimbabwe, it was the military that quote-unquote liberated people from Mrs. Grace Mugabe and Mugabe. Whereas the police, in fact, was pretty much, pretty much promoting the status quo. Now, let me ask you a question. There are times when President Museveni has been quoted as saying, my army, my money,
my oil.
My oil.
Yeah.
Who owns Uganda, really? Who is the primary stakeholder in Uganda?
Well, when somebody comes and says, my army, my money, my all, and the same leader comes and says, I am not anybody's servant, I am a freedom fighter who came to fight for my beliefs, and the same person indeed, on a different interview, comes and says, no, I'm not working for anybody, I'm working for myself, my children, and my grandchildren. Do I need to answer that question? Who owns Uganda, Shaka?
Can't he say that he's merely expressing his freedom of expression?
Well, we have a constitution. We have a constitution
which is supposed to defend,
which is supposed
to uphold and protect.
Certainly.
But what about you? You're a member of parliament.
I'm a member of
parliament. You're a representative of a constituency of Ugandans.
Yes.
If Uganda indeed belongs to that particular individual, what are you doing about it?
Well, I am a member of parliament, unfortunately. Why do I say unfortunately? Because we are caught up in a situation where the parliament is powerless. It is more or less a rubber stamp for the executive. Like I said, when we tried to stand up to the outright abrogation of the constitution, we were brutalized not outside, but on the floor of parliament. That last happened in 1966 when Milton Obote was abrogating the independent constitution. Yeah.
How could the Speaker of the National Assembly allow such a thing to happen?
Well, you should have asked first, does the Speaker have any power?
She has power on paper.
Well,
she is in charge of the legislature.
Well, allow me to remind you that the president is quoted to have said that the parliament is like a bus park where only noise is being made. This is a person that controls the instruments of coercion, the security forces. And yes, many times we have been blocked from accessing the precincts of parliament. We have been on the day when they were tabling the age limit. Many of us had to spend nights in hidden places because our homes were surrounded to prevent us from going to the parliament.
In fact, I recall that there was a story about grenades, actually, being, I think, unleashed on your house.
Yeah, grenades were unleashed. There were five of them.
Five of them.
Yeah, were hurled at my house, and my eldest son narrowly survived death. So that
who was responsible for those grenades?
Well, police came, and up to today, no police report has come out. But that's not the only case. I mean, you've seen senseless killings, not only for civilians, but even for high-profile security officers. Recently, some years ago, probably two, the Assistant Inspector of the Assistant Inspector General of Police was gunned down. We've never had a report about that.
Felix Kaweesa?
Yes, Felix Kaweesa. And indeed, many people, ordinary and outstanding, keep getting killed. We never get no report.
So tell me, Bobi Wine, are Ugandans citizens or are they subjects?
Well,
citizens meaning they owe allegiance to the state and therefore they have constitutional rights, inalienable rights, and in fact, birth rights, or subjects because they basically do not own any constitutional rights. They
Shaka.
Have privileges granted to them by an individual authority.
Yeah.
Like a dictator, a presidential monarch, or a kabaka for that matter. Are Ugandans citizens or subjects in practice?
Ugandans are supposed to be citizens.
But they
are
behave
subjects
like,
and are constantly degenerating into slaves.
Why?
It's many reasons, Shaka. It should be noted that actually many of our fellow countrymen and women do not know that they are indeed slaves because they are kept in the dark. We have a population that has never seen another president and they are convinced that they do not have the right and ability to put a leader in and out of power by their vote. They are convinced that the people who vote don't matter, but the people who count their votes matter. Our president is on record saying that a mere paper cannot get him out of power. So, yes, it's
so every 5 years you simply go through the motions?
Every 5 years we simply go through the motions. But our interest as a generation is to break that status quo, is to reinvent ourselves, is to claim the rights that are given to us by God and granted by the Constitution. If we were born in some other country that is not a constitutional or republic, I mean, we wouldn't mind. But when you read in the Constitution, it says fundamental rights are not granted by the state, they are inherent. When you look at the Constitution, it gives us rights. And those are the rights that we need, first of all, to sensitize our fellow countrymen and conceive it within ourselves that those are our rights and thereby we shall go and achieve them.
Let's go to the lifeline of the show, which are the telephone callers. Good afternoon, Dennis from Chicago. You're most welcome to Straight Talk Africa.
Yes, good afternoon, Shaka and Honorable Bob Wine.
We're terrific. How are you?
Very good. My name is Dennis, Ugandan, calling from Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so glad to hear Bobby Wine in the studio today, and just wanted to bring this forward to him. He's one of those young men in Uganda that have come out to speak for those who cannot speak for themselves, and we very proud of him. And also, just to relate to his life story from where he has come from and how much he's inspiring young people, and that is something very great. But I would also like to ask him, Honorable Chagulanyi, to rally his fellow artists that we know that change in every society, world over, the role of artists cannot be ignored. So if he should rally the like-minded artists like him, then they can spread the message to the masses. Thank you.
You're most welcome. Let's go to Connecticut. Tommy from Connecticut, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, sir. Thank you so much for taking my call.
You're most welcome, sir. What is your question or your comment?
My question is, I'm a musician, have been all my life. I'm very interested, a student of history. I'm very interested in what kind of force promoting change that music might have within Uganda and the rest of Africa. Is it promoted by authorities? Is it aided in any way? Because music, by nature, promotes a force of change. And many times, governments and authorities do not like that change. What would your opinion on that be?
Thank you very much. Would you respond to those questions, please?
Yeah, unfortunately, I wasn't able to listen to them. Could you repeat them for me, please?
He's saying that he's a musician himself,
yeah,
and he thinks that any musician would pretty much be in support of social change.
Sure. Mm. Well, I certainly agree with him. You know, music is a reflection of reality.
Mm-hmm.
It's a gift from God. We never buy it. So apart from using it for only entertainment, we should use music to better society and to leave a positive legacy.
You can't hear any questions?
No, I can't hear the questions.
It's very unfortunate. And of course, the Dennis from Chicago pretty much, you know, compliments you for whatever you are doing. And he thinks that you should mobilize your fellow musicians so that together you can really figure out a way of sensitizing Ugandans so that you can empower them to work towards social economic justice for all of us.
Yeah, sure, Shaka. It is very important for us as musicians, especially we in Uganda. I mean, for those who are in support of the status quo and for those that tend to speak truth to power, we should come together and know that none of us is immune to the situation. A country that is badly governed does not discriminate. When we face a broken down healthcare system or a broken down justice system, it affects us as a whole. I mean, in the recent past, we've lost our fellow artists. We lost AK-47, we lost producer Dan Spumapesa, and just a week or less ago, we lost a very talented artist called Moses Radio. Some of these artists actually were in support of the regime. I'm not holding them against that because that's their constitutional right to believe in what they want to believe in. But at least they should hold their leaders to account because, I mean, when one faces a life-threatening situation and there is no health facility to take care of their lives in danger on account of the rampant corruption, then we all face the same plight. Nobody is safe. So yes, it is important for us artists as voices of our society to reflect the needs and aspirations of the community and of the population of Uganda.
Let me ask you a question about Kenya.
Yes.
A very key neighboring country.
Mm-hmm.
There are a lot of things happening there. You recently heard, of course, major opposition leader Raila Amolo Odinga taking an oath of the people's president and demanding for what he calls, among other things, electoral justice.
Yeah.
You had the government reacting by obviously arresting people and, in fact, going to the extent of shutting down even private media stations so that people do not get information. You had a situation where the government in Gunawas, for example, five court orders to release one Miguna Miguna, an activist and lawyer, and in fact deporting him to Canada, even though he was born in Kisumu as a citizen. And the Constitution of Kenya actually says you cannot revoke anybody's citizenship. You cannot deport a citizen from your country. How do you respond to that? And people that live in the diaspora and yet come from countries like Uganda and Kenya?
Kenya is our immediate neighbor, and whatever happens in Kenya has a direct bearing on Uganda. I mean, we are brothers, only separated by artificial borders. It's important to pay attention on what's happening in Kenya. Yes, Kenya, all of us were proud of the Kenyan judiciary when it followed, when it exhibited the strong independence of the judiciary. I mean, it was the first annulment of a presidential election
In Africa. And the fourth in the world, as a matter of fact.
Sure. So that is something to be proud of. And indeed, yes, it was respected by the president, by the incumbent and the opposition. And they went to the polls. It was important, in my opinion, to look at what had caused the nullification of that presidential election, because I noticed that the irregularities that caused the annulment were not addressed, which is something of concern. And again, I hope that Kenya is not degenerating into lawlessness, because the disrespect of court orders does not paint a very good picture on such a seemingly better democracy than ours in Uganda.
How was your trip so far? Successful?
Yeah, it is nice. It is nice. I've been meeting up people from different walks of life. I've met up with Ugandans. We had a town hall meeting in Boston, and indeed we're having a town hall meeting here in Washington, D.C.
And you were at Harvard as Kennedy School, of course, for a week.
Yes, I was at Harvard Kennedy School and met up, networked with very important people.
Finally, if we are to look in the camera and talk to the audience, what message do you have for the Ugandan youth, who make up the vast majority of Ugandans, really, in terms of social change? You have 30 seconds.
Well, in 30 seconds, honestly, I would have had quite a lot to tell the Ugandan youth, but because it's 30 seconds, I'll tell the Ugandan youth that the leaders that you look at now gave their biggest contribution when they were our age. And indeed, all the leaders in the world, the most prime time for a person to contribute to his country is the youthful years. You realize that we are the youngest population in the world. That means two things. It means we can either be a liability to our country or an asset. So it is high time that we take up the mantle. It's high time that we take responsibility for our future. The people that are making decisions for us right now are not going to be around to face the outcomes of the decisions that they are making in the future. So it is upon us to take up the mantle and decide the kind of Uganda that we want ourselves and our children to live in.
Thank you very much. On that note, thanks to my distinguished guest, Robert Sentamu Kyagulanyi, also known as Bobby Wine. Thanks to affiliate stations, along with our wishers and viewers. Get better, not bitter, Uganda. And let's keep the African hope alive.